Johnny Londoff Chevrolet presents The Line Change.
He doesn't know what he's talking
about. No, what he's doing is showing us all that he doesn't have a functioning brain.
With radio veteran Eric Messersmith.
I guess the question with this move, guys, is this what the Cardinals need, and did they pay too much?
Former Missouri receiver T.J. Moe.
T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house.
Former Blues enforcer Cam Jansen.
Oh, that ring connected by Jansen. Oh, you kidding?
Inside STL.com reporter Hannah Yates.
It's not that he doesn't want to be an enforcer on the ice and play that role, but the NHL is just physically changing in that manner.
And online columnist turned producer Matt Whitener.
You're in a division with the best team in baseball. No matter how much people like that or don't like to hear it, the Cubs are setting the trend of how the game goes right now.
The Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
What's up, St. Louis? Good Monday to you. Eric, TJ, Hannah, and Matt with you, along with Matt Rocchio spinning the dials. Cam is still enjoying his vacation. If you saw those videos on Facebook, you know he is really enjoying it. Check out our Facebook page, by the way, The Line Change.
He's accidentally tweeting.
Accidentally?
Yeah. He tweeted out, and then he called me. First of all, I used the wrong your, so I made sure to tell Twitter that he did that. And then...
Was this a Gary Pinkle type accident?
No, he was trying to reply to somebody from Nottingham said, Cam, please come back. And then he says, you're right, but he used the wrong your. And then he put ... I'm telling him to whatever, change path over the Atlantic, like he was going to go to Nottingham. And but he says, and everybody saw that, so I look like an idiot. And so he said, just make fun of me or something.
He was responding to things under the Line Change account again. I don't know. Just let him go. Let's just...
People need to go look at our... we have like three videos from Cam on our Line Change Facebook account. So go to the Line Change, like our page, and check out Cam and his... He's like... He said, should I make another video today? I was like, well, we've seen the ship. He's like, you've seen, like, the west wing of the ship. I'll show you the rest of the ship. I'll text you.
That's an incredible boat right there. How much do you think that boat
retails
for?
I know down at the Ozarks there are boats, and they're like a quarter the size of what he's on. Maybe a quarter, maybe 10%. And I know for sure one of those boats is about $6 million. So my guess is this boat is somewhere in the range of... $75 million, $100 million,
probably. Really? That's all.
Wow.
It's, you know, why not? No, no, $75 million.
Honestly,
I don't even like boats.
I'll text Cam.
Get one.
Yeah, we need to get a price estimate on that. 855-282-8255.
We're gonna have Cam appraising.
Yes, appraise that boat. Boats. Does it have a place for the chopper to land on top? Because
there's a hot tub on the top deck.
So if you can land a helicopter next to a hot tub and just jump straight in, that's when you're living life. That's when you've really made it. Like, just hit golf balls into the ocean. That's when you've really done it.
855-282-8255, the Ryan Kelly phone line and the text line, 855-282-TALK. Tweet at us at LineChangeSTL.
Here's the problem with that what you're saying right there, Eric, that people tweet at us and you never read them.
Well, I
go back and I look at our Twitter account, and you've never read a single tweet. What is the incentive for anybody to ever tweet at us?
Why do you hate our Twitter?
I leave that up to Maddie. It's to follow our Twitter.
Well, all right.
So, Matt, you're in charge of that.
You remember when we were talking about all the things I have to do on a daily basis before we started?
I don't know why you can't work out 4 hours a day and get jacked.
You sound like somebody else I know now.
Oh, what's his name?
Steve, the camera guy.
We're going to talk a lot about the Mizzou coaching search. Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star is going to join us coming up about 5 minutes from now. Also, Todd Palmer, who's also with the Kansas City Star, will join us later in the show.
Vahe covered me when I was at Mizzou. He is one of my all-time favorite journalists in history. Oh, he's just incredible.
So you're already sucking up
the most endearing guy. I remember going in, we just got... just handled by Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel my senior year. That was Johnny's Heisman year. And I went in, and guys were kind of... There was no reason to do an interview. It was our last game. We didn't make a bowl game. And I just went in and talked to him, and he kind of pulled me aside and thanked me for all the quotes and everything over the years, and wanted to get lunch and just hang out and just have just really the coolest guy. He's one of the few guys that I think... There was probably a lot of negative attention he could have brought to the program with things that he knew over the years and chose not to. Generally a guy that, not that he's not doing his job in reporting, but just things that, put it this way, he's done me favors over dumb things that I've said. Go ahead and not write that. And he doesn't write them, you know.
And we know that that probably was a pretty frequent occurrence with you saying dumb things.
Yeah, I think one time I said retarded, and he's like, yeah, I'll leave that one out. And he's just
I try to do the exact same thing here every time you say it.
Like, I've asked Rock in the past, and he didn't do it. I'm like, when I do, just drop it. Just drop about 5 seconds so I don't have to scramble.
I think
or
the only...
don't say it.
That's well, sometimes it just comes out.
Good
maybe
idea.
Just... practice not to.
Okay, so we all have homework after the show.
What's that?
Hannah's got her homework. We don't have to go over that. Okay. You don't say that. You practice not saying that.
I don't say it much. It's just sometimes when I get really fired up about, like, who do I hate? Yeah, well, no, yeah, it's either Jameis or Ndamukong Suh.
I'm supposed to eat 6,000 calories.
Six?
I thought that's what you just told me.
I said 2,500, but 6,000 is fine.
God.
If you can force 6,000 calories down after the diet you've been going on, I don't know. That would be impressive.
I would die pretty much immediately. Eric, we'll have TJ get back to you about the list of things he wants for you to work on.
It'll be a long
time. And we'll just kind of let Cam go.
I don't have enough time in the day to put together the list.
The Brentwood Bandit says, why do you guys hate St. Louis reporters? That is true. We do have two Kansas City reporters on today.
Everybody else has had the St. Louis reporters. Yeah, trying to spice it up.
Exactly. See, on the show, we don't want to get the same people on every show. Also, we do have a USA Today reporter, Martin Rogers. He's an MMA writer for USA Today. He's going to join us at 4:20, talk about that Tyron Woodley fight over the weekend, which Woodley won, but it was a very controversial finish.
Dana didn't think he won.
Yeah, Dana said he lost. It was one of those fights that was scored very closely. So before we get to Vahe coming up in a few minutes, let's do some initial thoughts on Kim Anderson being fired. Let me be the 1,000,000th person to say he was a really nice guy, but in over his head. I mean, I think that pretty much sums up Kim Anderson. I think they had a drinking game. Did they have a drinking game, Rock, going on the Midday Grind where every time somebody said Kim Anderson was a nice guy? I thought I heard Martin make mention of that earlier. You were there. You were in this building. Yeah. Kim Anderson, by the way, 26-67 in 3 years at Mizzou.
Yeah, it's just similar to when John Fox was fired after that Super Bowl run, you know? A lot of success.
Right. They just wanted to take... Nah, that's mean, because, look, I'm sure he is a good dude, but, look, it's just tough job. He could have been done with the right guy. He wasn't the right guy. So let's talk about the future, and we'll go over a lot of these candidates with Vahe, and I'm sure a lot of people by now know or are somewhat familiar with the list. To me, it kind of I've divided it up into four categories of guys. First is the guys you have to ask, but will probably say no. So I'll put Marshall of Wichita State on that list, you know, and a few others. These are the guys you call. They're probably not interested, but you have to ask. Then I think it's the major conference guys.
Are you going to tell us who they are? Are you just going to
No, well, there's a lot of guys for each category. I don't want to go through a million names, but I'll just give you one or two guys I think. Then there's the major conference guys. I think these are the most likely guys. These are the guys that are at a Power 5, although in basketball, I guess you'd say Power 6 school right now, but aren't but could be pried away. Quanzo Martin would be an example here. You know, he's had success at Cal. Frank Martin, who's had success at South Carolina.
He'd be a tough pull.
He'd be tough.
He'd be hard.
You'd have to pay. I think his buyout's almost $5 million.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Crean's the one that I think you could.
Is in my wild card category of a guy who has a good job, but could lose it and then might need a job.
I don't know that he would necessarily need to lose it. He would just have to be on such thin ice that you hit the reset button and get, you know, 3, 4, 5 more years.
Yeah. But, it's tough to walk away. Indiana, I think. Consensus.
He won the Big Ten title last year.
Right. Plus, it's the top 10 job in the country, top 10 program, maybe top
historically. Yeah.
And it's not, and he's had a lot of success there, put in a lot of work. But that's the human element you don't know is how frustrated is he with the fact that he has a down year after turning around a dumpster fire, because it was when he took over.
He took over for Samson, didn't he?
Yeah. Samson, mm-hmm. who was facing all kinds of NCAA allegations. I mean, they had basically nothing when he took over, and they were really bad for a few years, and then he turned it around. And won some Big Ten championships, and now he's going through a down year, and they're talking about maybe firing him.
Yeah, I've even seen people throw Kelvin Sampson's name around. He's down at Houston. I would not take him for a second. I don't think he's that good of a coach. I realize the allegation, all the violations are mostly, like Gabe DeArmo was writing about this, mostly everything he did was legal as of today.
Yeah,
but I just don't think he's that good.
I think his big thing was a lot of text messages. He was a frequent texter.
He was, I think, decent at Oklahoma. And then he went to Indiana. Again, I just don't think he's that great of a coach. I would take Tom Crean over him.
Anyway, Crean's the highlight of my wild card. The other guy that I think is a wild card is Fred Hoiberg, a guy who has a pretty nice gig right now coaching the NBA for the Bulls, but he might get fired, and he had a lot of success at Iowa State, so that's a guy to keep in mind. Let's welcome in on the Ryan Kelly phone lines, Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We were going through some of the names of the potential Mizzou coaches. It seems like there's about, 50 names that have already been thrown out there. Who do you think are the two or three that are the most likely?
You know, I don't have any sense of how this administration is going to do business, and I do have a sense of the long history of search processes, particularly at the University of Missouri, and that, you know, a term that, look, we all can't help but speculate, but a term that gets flung around a lot is the word candidate, and I'm pretty sure candidate requires the person to have a known interest in it, too, so that, without even knowing who you guys are talking about yet, it's just a little flashing yellow light I like to give myself on these things. And I can't tell you I've really formed any real notion of what the spectrum could be. I guess I have the sense that they're ready to not break the bank, but ready to spend. But I don't really know why I have that sense, because I don't know where that money is going to come from exactly. Although we've certainly seen under Jim Stirk's tenure that there are people with pockets that are looking to contribute to the University of Missouri. So all this stuff and more, I guess, is going to go into this situation.
Vahe, what do you think the number is to go grab a guy that's going to change this program? I mean, you've seen the top guys, obviously. John Calipari is going to be making numbers out of this world, but they have to be somewhat competitive. You can't, obviously, we know Anderson was making like $1.1 million. That is not going to be competitive. What do you think the number is to really go get somebody that can change the program?
It's a great question, TJ, and let's just, for the fun of it, put Greg Marshall in this category. And I don't in any way mean to suggest he is or isn't somebody they could look at or that he'd be interested in, but just as a example of a guy who I think people would think could be a transformational figure, a guy who's very comfortable where he is, a guy who makes a lot of money where he is. I think he's a guy that would probably have the risk-reward equation down to a specific number, to be honest with you. You know, I think he'd be thinking about what X amount does for him in Wichita, how much, you know, he thinks he can keep winning, sustain success, et cetera, versus if he goes to another school, let's say Missouri, how much can he make in an X amount of period of time that makes his life, you know, that much better? And so what is that number? I know that's what you're really asking. Don't you have to think it's got to be in that sweet spot between 2.5 to 3.5 million, something like that?
Yeah, and I think Marshall's already making, isn't he making like $3 million?
He is. I think he is. I think you'd have to pay him closer to four. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it's my recollection he's over three, and that's, I'm not sure exactly how.
I think it's three.
In terms of what's guaranteed. Yeah,
I think it's 3.3, Vahe. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but so. You know, and again, he's just person X example. So, you know, here's the thing I guess you have to ask yourself first, too, though, is, you know, okay, is it an appealing job? Well, I know there's been some stuff that's been difficult the last couple of years at the University of Missouri, but I think it's a pretty appealing job. Is it not? I mean, it's got a rich basketball tradition. It's in a conference that is a fine conference, but not a conference you can't crack the top half of, you know, within a year or two with having, if you get the right kind of players. And it's in a, you know, maybe not the basketball hotbed, but a state that likes its basketball, uniquely situated between two great major metro areas and not without other players in the state. And again, it's not, you're not going to win with all Missouri kids, but you can certainly make a nice little foundation if you get a couple of the right ones. So I don't know. You tell me why it's not a good job.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is if you went to a school in, say, the ACC or the Big Ten that finished at or near the bottom of the league, it would be really tough in a couple years to drive that school into the top three or four in the league. But in the SEC, it's not that big of a haul compared to some of these other quote-unquote power leagues. There might not be as many NCAA right. tournament bids, but you get the right coach in here, a good recruiting class, they could be top three or four in the SEC pretty quickly.
Well, I think that's right, and you know, you've seen, other than really Kentucky, I mean, you've seen some, you know, some up and down the elevator with different schools in the last couple of years in the conference. And so, I don't know. I think they've got some things to sell. They've got some things to work through, too, but some things to sell. And I guess it's my understanding that they'll go with the time-honored search committee. I don't know how fast we can expect the process to be. I don't know if they've got a little running jump at some thoughts, but you know, I don't really know how the search committee things work, whether they like to run names by the search committee or they just take names from the search committee, you know, things like that. But it'll be interesting to see how Jim Stirk runs the process and how much he can keep the leaks from happening, and how much we'll be able to pry loose along the way. So I hope for everybody's sake that it's a quick, efficient process that brings somebody people can get excited about.
Vahe, there's been some criticism in the past about Mizzou's hiring tactics. There was some saying that they didn't go big enough with Kim Anderson, and also the same thing was brought up about Barry Odom. Do you think that it's more important right now that they bring in somebody with that national presence and maybe that pedigree as a whole, or to get somebody that really knows this specific area well?
That's a great question, and I think that the common denominator in any answer is the word fit. And that could mean somebody with a little inside sense, but it could mean somebody who's adaptable, and has, you know, no real history here. I mean, you know, you need look only at Gary Pinkel to think of that. I mean, it's true you can focus on the recent hires as being a pattern. You know, I was all for the hiring of Kim, and it's a shame it didn't work out. Frankly, I like Barry, and I hope it works out, but I sort of thought that the program was at a stage where it could hire a head coach in football that and should have done that at the time. And, you know, the minute they made the hire of Barry, I stand back from that and say, let's hope it works out for Barry, right? But so I don't think there's one answer to this question. We've seen schools go to favorite sons in the past, and that can work out some places, doesn't work out other places, and people that have a little bit of a, you know, kernel of a past somewhere, sometimes that means something, sometimes it doesn't really mean anything. So I think somehow you got to find somebody that you think can, not adjust, because I think people, if you have the right person, maybe he makes people adjust around him, right? But I just think it's this sort of nebulous concept of fitting, and one of those things you don't know until you see it, probably.
But hey, some of the potential coaches that people are talking about are obviously going to be harder to pull, such as Travis Ford or South Carolina's Frank Martin. Both of them have made significant improvements in the programs they've taken over, but that's the thing, they're kind of set where they are. So what do you think it would take to yield a coach such as one of those two who are pretty set with where they are right now?
Well, it's a fickle business, isn't it? I mean, I think sometimes we think people are set when they're not, and vice versa, right? I think these back channels have a way of clarifying things we never know about who's really happy somewhere, who isn't. And, of course, just because somebody might look appealing to you or me or you know, person X, may have nothing to do at all with what people in charge of making the decisions really feel, and let's hope that they're all smarter than those of us in the peanut gallery. But I think again, it's the idea works in reverse too. Not just the school trying to find somebody that fits with them, but trying to appeal to somebody who thinks the school is a fit for them. And you could look at any number of situations where. I think we could see stuff that says, oh, they'd be a good fit, but ultimately the job of the two most concerned parties, the school and the prospective hiree, are the ones that are going to matter the most.
Vi, what, do you know anything about Jim Sterk's history and how he goes about doing this, what he prefers compared to some others? I think a lot of how we go about this, we're saying, what does Missouri do? But I kind of think it doesn't matter what Missouri does. It matters what Jim Sterk does. So his history at San Diego State? I know he made a couple good hires there. Prior to that, he was at Washington State, Portland State. He's been around a little bit. Do you know anything about his history, about how he goes about hiring coaches?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I really don't, and part of that's just this immersion in spring training and stuff right now. But I don't know much about his specific, you know, history of methodology. But I think you identify the most important answer of all. No matter what he ends up doing, it's really not going to be because that's what Missouri does. It's going to be, I think, a statement about who he is and what he sets out to do. And you know, I think if he's a good athletic director that, you know, all appearances suggest he is and has a chance to be for Missouri, you know, he creates his own parameters. And if for no other reason, I think that's what we should all hope for, just because basketball's been pretty unstable for some years now with the way various decisions have been made. And also, in some sense, it's just the way certain unforeseen consequences have happened, too. So I think the most salient point of all there is that we just need to remember this isn't a, you know, what's Missouri continue to do type of hire. Whatever this is, this is sort of, I think, one of the first real statements about his modus operandi and what he can do for Missouri.
Vahe, thank you so much for taking the time today, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed being on, and hope we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Vahe Gregorian joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone line, sports columnist for the Kansas City Star and KansasCity.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheGregorian. That's spelled GREGORIAN.
I'll tweet out his story on Kim Anderson, too. It was really good. I read it just before he came on the air here. He kind of just went through, okay, it didn't work, but as you said and you pointed out, this is a good man. Let's talk about why it didn't work, but also point out that this is a guy that would have ridden his bike from Sedalia, where he's from, to Columbia to do this job, and he gave it everything he had. It just didn't work. So I will tweet that out now. You guys can go check it out. In fact, I'll put it up on our on the Line Change page. You guys can see that.
There's no need to kick dirt on you know, Kim Anderson's grave, but I think the lesson here is, go big.
Right.
You got to get this right. You because this program is there. I mean, everything is there. The recruiting base in the state, the facilities, you're in a major conference. But as I said, you're in a major conference, but one that doesn't have that kind of structure like some of the other power conferences where it's so tough to break in the top. Other than Kentucky, the SEC is there for the taking. It's a really good job if you're willing to spend the $3-4 million it's going to take. And we talked about there's 15, 20 different names. If you're willing to spend the $3 or $4 million, you're going to get one of those names.
Yeah, I think TJ made a good point by saying it's kind of about the direction that Jim Sterk wants to go in with this. What I hope is that even if he's looking at some of the things that were done by his predecessors, you know, to the point about making a statement and going out and getting an established coach, I think that's essential right now. I think they've got to get somebody that has done this before, has got experience on both the recruiting side and guiding a team into the tournament. I don't think right now this is where you want to bring a guy that's still developing and trying to cut his teeth. You really need somebody that's got some veteran experience and has already done this before.
Yeah, I think people would be disappointed if it's a mid-major guy. Not that those guys can't be great coaches, because obviously the young up-and-comers are from those ranks. And there are some names here of guys who've had tremendous success. I mean, Kevin Keats at UNC Wilmington, it's 27-5 this year, and he has a lot of experience. He was Rick Pitino's assistant for 4 years. So there's a guy who would be great, but I think he'd be a disappointment to a lot of people because he doesn't have that pedigree of coaching at a major conference.
You know, everybody's going to always want the Greg Marshalls and the guys that are doing well at other schools, but let's just be honest about where Mizzou basketball is at. It's not a destination job to go to right now. It's a good program to be associated with. But if you're if you're having the success that he's having, Greg Marshall, for example, and if you look back at college football, you know, Chris Peterson, what he was doing in Boise State for all of those years, you know, those guys shouldn't leave until that just fantastic job comes over.
If you're Marshall, Shaka Smart did.
Yes.
Right.
Ended up and play, him and, oh God, it just went Brad Stevens. although he went to the NBA, they leveraged their stock so well that they didn't do it just to be associated with a conference. They did it to be associated with a job
level. I think it's an important distinction, too, though, to say that Missouri basketball today is not where Missouri football was when they had to hire Gary Pinkel. They were not so far down in this black hole that you have to just go get somebody. Now, Coach Pinkel turned into something great, one of the greatest coaches, you could argue the greatest coach in program history, but they had to go get a guy from Kent State, and they hit the lottery. Here, you can still get a name. I mean, you're talking about a team that in 2012 went 30-2 and was a 2-seed right in the discussion of being a 1-seed.
Right.
And in, at the time, the best conference in college basketball. You can get somebody. You're not that far removed. And basketball is so much easier in football to turn a program around because it just takes a kid or two. And they can do it as freshmen. That's really hard to do in football.
855-282-8255. We'll read your texts on this situation as well throughout the show. And you can tweet at us at LineChangeSTL along with TJ Moe, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener. I'm Eric Messersmith. This is the Line Change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.